Question 63, Westminster Shorter Catechism, asks, which is the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment is, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long, upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Question 64, what is required in the fifth commandment? The fifth commandment requireth the preserving, the honor, and performing the duties belonging to everyone in their several places and relations as superiors, inferiors, or equals. Then I would remind you of what is in question 63, the reading of Scripture. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This is God's holy and infallible word. Our study of the commandments using the Westminster Shorter Catechism brings us to the fifth commandment, and I'd like to give you two things that will be the pegs upon which we will hang our outline this evening that we will study as we begin to look at the fifth commandment, because as has been our practice, we look at what this commandment requires one week, and then the following week, the Lord willing, we will look at what the commandment tells us we may not do. That's the teaching aspect of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Hopefully you've found it to be a helpful one. And as we come to this, what the Lord requires when he gives us this fifth commandment, the two things that I see that we can focus on this evening are honor and authority. Honor and authority. Honor, of course, coming from honor your father and your mother. And the authority aspect, as it's contained in what we will see as a metaphor, father and mother, sometimes used as a metaphor to expand it, we will see that it relates to all forms of authority, but when we get there, we'll look at that more carefully. First of all, honor. Honor your father and your mother. I know of some dear souls through the years that when you go through a series on the Ten Commandments and it comes to honor your father and your mother, they wouldn't come to church on that Sunday because they had terrible parents. And there are, of course, examples of terrible parents. We know all about that. We've seen parents, someone is just convicted of murdering his son, leaving him in a car to die of the heat. We've seen other examples. We know of some. I'm thinking of a very dear friend of mine so many years ago in Oregon who had a terrible father, and terrible things happened. And so when they hear these words, honor your father and mother, they almost cringe. That's understandable. But we also have to look at what does it mean when Scripture says honor your father and your mother. And in order to understand that, I think we have to look really away from our earthly father and mother, because this is God's commandment. It didn't come from mom and dad, although at least my mom and dad used to pretty well enforce that, as they enforced all of the commandments. What does it mean to honor our mother and father, to honor authority? When you break down honor, it comes out in three different ways. There could be more, but I'd like us to look at three ways in which we can see the way in which we honor those in authority. There's reverence, there is submission, and there is gratitude. First, reverence, because reverence, of course, speaks of a heart attitude. We are to reverence God. That is a heart attitude on the part of those who know God and love God. If we do not reverence God, that is, revere his holy name, then our heart is not right. It's a heart attitude. It's a proper attitude then of a child to his parents. We should give the honor that our parents are to receive, and it should come from our hearts. It shouldn't be, oh, I honor my father and my mother because the commandment tells me to. No, it should be we honor our parents and those in authority because that's what God calls us to. And it should be the honor we give to God as well. As we say, we honor by reverence the Lord for who he is. And to do that, it's to really have an attitude in which we respect someone else in thoughts, words, and actions. The opposite of that would, of course, be to not respect them in thoughts, words, and actions. An example of it might be to curse someone. Scripture has many admonitions against cursing someone else. Why is it such a serious offense? Because it is a crime against that person. It's just as much a crime to curse as it is to steal something that belongs to them, to lie to them or about them, to break other commandments. We honor the relationship and those in those relationships that God has sovereignly established in our lives. And the way in which we honor them is to reverence and respect them in thought, word, and deed, because God has, in his sovereignty, placed them where they are. You know, God gave us the parents, for instance, we have. When we expand this and we look into the fact that this commandment also, as has been the case not only in the in the Westminster Confession, but the Reformers and those who study the Scripture and all of the commentators, they expand this to include all aspects of authority. We are to honor those authority structures that God has ordained because God has put them there, and we cannot be less than content with them, or we are less than content with God's providence and God's blessing. So we are to respect them. We are to submit to them. Submission is not blind obedience. Remember, this commandment is taken by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, and he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." And he says, as he goes on, that is the first commandment that's given with promise. We won't look at that aspect, but I want you to reflect on the fact that Paul takes this fifth commandment and he tells children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, if your parents tell you then to go out and rob a bank, you don't do that, because that's not obeying them in the Lord. It would be violating another commandment of God. You understand that. But we are to respect them. We are to submit to them in the Lord. And we are to show a demeanor in our life towards that authority, a willingness to listen and faithfully listen to the wisdom that we receive from those that are in authority over us. And by extension, if it means not just parents, but all forms of authority, which I think, along with the Reformers and so many that have looked at this commandment, have suggested, if this commandment also applies to other forms of authority, be it civil authority or church authority. But it's a limited authority, because God's the only one that has supreme authority. That's why Paul says to the children in Ephesians 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Only the Lord has supreme authority. Parents do not. Parents should also recognize that relationship and use that then as a guide to how they raise their children. That's another sermon in and of itself as you look at Ephesians 6. But that authority is limited by the authority that God gives in these authority structures, in the parents and the children's relationship, in that Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 6 context. Paul also goes on to say that that authority structure exists between what he calls masters and slaves. Today we might say between employers and employees, and he also says between husbands and wives. These are authority structures that God has ordained, and within those authority structures we are to show the proper biblical submission to the authority that God has granted. And then not only reverence, not only submission, but gratitude is how we honor those that are in authority over us. And that's the situational perspective in which we apply this, in which we live it out, where it comes to root, so to speak, in our lives. How does that work out? Well, take your Bible for a moment, turn with me to Mark's Gospel, the 7th chapter. Jesus had some things to say about this very commandment. Excuse me. In his discussions with his good friends, the Pharisees. Mark's Gospel, the 7th chapter. Jesus had been in discussion in the 7th chapter with the leaders of the Jews, the Pharisees, the scribes and the Pharisees, and he's been talking in this 7th chapter about their traditions. Now, verse 9 of chapter 7. And he said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God." Which one? The fifth commandment, okay? "In order to establish your tradition." Now notice he says in another verse, not too far away from this verse, "You substitute the traditions of God or your traditions for the word of God. That's what they're doing here, verse 9. For Moses said, now he quotes the commandment, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. Notice that he telescopes together places in Scripture under the rubric or under the heading of the fifth commandment. He quotes part of the fifth commandment, but he also quotes that portion of Scripture that says if a man tells his or reviles his father and mother, he must surely die. That's the part of the Scripture that expands on the fifth commandment. He's taking all of these aspects of the fifth commandment and he's putting it together, and then he says, but you say, if a man tells his father or mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father and mother. And here's the point he wants to make. Thus, making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do. You don't only do it here. You do it all over the map. What a condemnation. You substitute your tradition for the word of God. That really is, what's the word? Bold. And Jesus nails it shut by a simple vow to reserve their possessions as a gift to God, which they called Corban. They then reserve those gifts for the church, a gift to God, untouchable then for what the word of God required them to do, to care for their aged parents. Well, I can't afford my parents. This is Corban. They'll just have to go on welfare. Somebody else will have to take care of them, because this, in their pious way of dedicating this gift to God, is reserved for the Lord. And Jesus says, you can almost hear him say it, you have replaced the word of God with your tradition. That's not honoring father and mother. Here was a breach of the commandment which Jesus exposed. Here he holds up the commandment, and in the light of it, he shows how they failed to keep it. Their gratitude should have led them to support their parents, to care for them, and to honor them. But instead of honoring them, they were honoring their own selfishness, what made them look good, their gift to God. One does not honor his parents if he refuses to support them, care for them. You're not showing honor. You're showing your selfish nature. And then turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 5. There too, we find Paul the Apostle speaking about things in a situational perspective, addressing a situation within the church. The fifth chapter of 1 Timothy. And if you found your place, look at verse 4, where the Apostle Paul, beginning at verse 3, he says this, honor widows who are truly widows, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents. For this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, that would of course be someone who doesn't have these children or grandchildren to care for her, she has her hope set in God and continues in supplications and prayers all night. But she who is self-indulgent is dead while she still lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach.